And then another couple together with four other brothers and sisters from the Chinese ministry and the English ministry getting baptized. And so I invite you, I urge you to come to this joint service to celebrate, to share the joy, and to pray for them as they embark on this important milestone of their faith. And may God continue to guide and protect them. Now, our church holds two baptismal services every year. I don't know what your thoughts are and how you feel as you sit in the service every time. For those who are not believers yet, probably you are curious about what baptism is all about. For those who are believers but not yet baptized, probably you want to get baptized as soon as possible. And for those of us who are Christians and already baptized, probably you have a lot of thoughts. You go back to the day when you were baptized. You remember every single detail that went on that day. And so what does it really mean by getting baptized into Christ? What does it really mean? And so let us meditate and think through this morning's scripture passage to get some understanding of the Lord's teaching. And so I invite you to open up once again to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Just now, Sammy read the passage for us. Okay, so let us turn to that chapter again. The entire chapter of chapter 3, Matthew, is about a baptismal service. The passage does not mention anything about hymns, praise, or even prayer. But it does mention that the officiant, that is the minister, delivers a very solemn, very serious, it's a rebuking message to warn everybody present that they should repent of their pride, they should repent of their self-righteousness and come before God to receive mercy from God. Now, after the message, the officiant entered Jordan River and he waded. He wades into the water till it reaches his knees, and then he invites everybody who is willing to repent of their sins to get baptized to come into the water. And then he would hold their hands one by one and bend his himself and lower every person who is getting baptized into the water. He submerged them. He immerses them. Now, who is this officiant? Who is this minister? Well, he is none other than John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. Now, according to Bible scholars, the baptismal service or the baptism that he conducts is called repentance baptism, because the people getting baptized do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's just because they repent of their sins and so they get baptized. It's so different from what we're going to do next Sunday. Next Sunday, our six brothers and sisters have already repented of their sins and they have already received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so they are going to receive what we call a believer's baptism. Are they getting baptized because of their belief in Jesus Christ? Now, there at the Jordan River, John the Baptist preached a fiery sermon, and he called all the people to repent of their sins and then to get baptized. Now, at that time in Israel, this kind of practice was revolutionary, and it caused a stir amongst the people. The reason is that Jews had never any need to get baptized. they did not need to get baptized. Yes, you know, there is baptism in the Jewish custom or tradition. It's been set up for a long time, but it's only for pagans who wanted to turn from their faith or from whatever they believed in to follow Judaism, to become a follower of Judaism. So it's a ceremony. After this ceremony, the pagans would be accepted, would be received as followers of Judaism. So how come the Jews never needed any baptism? Well, it's because they believed that if you were born a Jew, that means you'll be a descendant of Abraham. And that means you'll be in the covenant that God made with Abraham. And you'll be God's chosen people. Just as John was busy baptizing, suddenly a person appeared before him. And it startled him. This person is none other than Jesus Christ. He came before John to ask John to baptize him. Jesus' request really put John the Baptist in an awkward situation. John the Baptist recognized Jesus not only as his cousin, not only as his relative, but he recognized Jesus as the Holy One of God, the Messiah whom the Israelites have been expecting for a long time. And John himself even said, "I am not worthy, I'm not fit to carry even his sandals." And so in verse 14, John said to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Then Jesus replied in verse 15, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Let us pay attention to the word "us," this pronoun. It means everybody. Everybody should do this. And then the word "righteousness" in that phrase doesn't refer to being justified by faith in Jesus, but it refers to something that is pleasing to God, that God sees as appropriate. Now, Jesus does not need to get baptized. And yet, as a human being, he wants to fulfill all righteousness. Now, Jesus believes that it is reasonable to get baptized because it is pleasing to God and it is an appropriate, a fitting thing to do. Now, why did Jesus come to the Jordan River and ask John to baptize him? Well, besides the above reasons, besides it being fitting for everybody to do, Jesus wanted to really express his surrender to God's will. We all know that. When a person believes in Jesus Christ and repents of his sins, he would get baptized, and baptism becomes a mark in this person's life. That is a mark for God. But Jesus Christ is God's one and only Son. He is holy. He is without blemish. He is without sin. And there is no sin in his life that needs to be removed. And so he doesn't need to repent of any. And so he doesn't need any baptism. But why did Jesus come before John the Baptist and ask him to get him baptized? Well, because it shows his humility. He's willing to lower himself, to identify himself with sinners like you and me. He is willing to bear our burdens. He knows our weaknesses, and he is compassionate towards our hardship. He is willing to deliver you and me from the bondage of sin. Now, many a time when I run into difficulty in ministry, when I feel depressed, or when there are problems at home and I don't know how to solve them, there are parents in our midst. You know, it's not easy to raise up children. parenting is difficult. And also, it's not so easy to get along with your spouse sometimes, right? And it's a challenge at times. And also, for me, when people treat me with disdain, when people despise me, when people criticize me behind my back, if I turn around, if you look at my back, you know what you see? You see a target. Everybody is shooting arrows at me. And when I am in that kind of situation, when I don't know where to turn, I remember this precious passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 17. There it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So, in those moments, you know, in that kind of situation, I would kneel before God and I would pray to God. If you've been to my home, you know that in the basement there is a study, and that's where I would kneel. I would pray to God and pour out my distress to God, crying out to God, SOS, please help me. So, brothers and sisters and friends, if you are like me in any one of the above situations, if you have any lack, any need in life, if you run into any trouble like sickness, challenge, when you feel disappointed, when you feel hurt, when you feel helpless, I hope that you can come before Jesus just like me. Pour out your heart before God and hand over your sadness, your sorrow, and your tears to Jesus. Because this person, Jesus, who doesn't need to get baptized, is so willing to lower himself to get baptized because he wants to identify with you and with me. Jesus understands every single situation we are in. He knows every kind of difficulty we face. He promises us that he is with us because he is God Emmanuel, and he is willing and he is able to go through thick and thin in life with us. And he can deliver us and remove worries from us. And when we study the Gospel of Matthew, we notice that Jesus Christ's earthly ministry begins with baptism, and it ends with baptism too. In chapter 3, we see that his work begins with baptism. And then in chapter 28, we see that he commands his disciples to baptize everybody who believes in him. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus Christ's example at the beginning, and then we see Jesus Christ's command at the end. And this really shows how much God put emphasis on baptism. Now, Jesus Christ came to Jordan River to request John the Baptist to baptize him because he wants to set a good example for the followers that he is going to have, for the believers that he is going to have, so that when they get baptized, they can have this evidence, they can have this proof that our Savior, our Lord, is once baptized. Now, after Jesus Christ has been baptized, he rises from the water, and then suddenly the heaven opens, and the Bible says, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." Now, Jesus Christ is pleasing to God because he has done what is appropriate in God's sight. He is willing to surrender himself to become a man to carry out this mission of redemption of humankind. And because of all this, God said, "This is my son. I'm well pleased." Now, when Jesus Christ got baptized, the three persons of God appeared right at that moment very prominently, conspicuously. And every person of the Trinity takes part in the baptism. The Son, Jesus Christ, is in the water, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and then God the Father speaks from heaven. Now, this is a declaration of the Trinity of God. And this is how come Christians are so different from Muslims, from Buddhists, and from followers of any other religion. The truth of Trinity, the doctrine of Trinity, is something that we hold firmly. And it is something that we can practice every day. We pray to God who transcends above all things, God the Father. And we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And also, we can depend on the Holy Spirit who has given us a new life. And the Holy Spirit can strengthen our faith and our resolve in following Jesus Christ. Now, any person can come into God's house to take part in a Sunday service. He or she can sing, can pray, can listen to the sermon, but he or she may not be a Christian. But once a person is baptized, his Christian identity is revealed, is obvious for all to see. And so this is very important. That's why I believe when Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, he included this command to baptize everyone in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He includes this in his Great Commission because for the Jews at the time, how do they know that? How would they know that they really believe in Jesus? Well, as the people who practice Judaism, they believe in the Old Testament. They believe in the one true God. They believe in miracles. In Judaism, there is prayer. There is scripture reading. They have everything that we have. So how can you identify a person who practices Judaism from a Christian? And the main distinction at that time is whether the person has been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now here, I just want to mention a couple of misconceptions about baptism. Somebody said, well, baptism is just external. If I believe in Jesus Christ in my heart, that's good enough. Well, I'll say that that's not good enough, right? Because baptism is a command of Jesus. It is something fitting in the sight of God. Jesus Christ wants us to express our inner faith by our outward behavior. By means of the external ceremony, we express our internal faith in Jesus Christ. It's just like when a man and a woman date one another, and do they just, fall in love and that's it? I guess there will come a moment when they want to get married. Justin and April are going to get married, right? And there will come a time when they want to get married. And in the wedding ceremony, they would exchange their marital vows. They would exchange their wedding rings. They would pledge themselves to each other to become a married couple. And so it's somewhat like that, believing in Jesus Christ. And it's not good enough just to say, oh, I believe in Jesus in the heart, and that's good enough. And we should follow up, we should follow through with baptism. And this is a reasonable thing to do. Because only then you show your commitment to Jesus Christ. Only then you really truly tell the world that you are true follower of Jesus Christ. And another misconception is, some people think, oh, you know, I am a Christian, but I am not a good Christian. Well, wait till I improve better. I get better in my relationship with God, and then I will get baptized. Now, it sounds, you know, reasonable, it sounds good, but unfortunately, it put the matter in reverse order. You and I know that we are not saved by works, and we are not getting baptized because we have better works. We behave better. But on the contrary, after we get baptized, I believe that we will become better Christians because we know that it is not really us who can change ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit in us who can help us to improve and get better and better. Baptism is Jesus Christ's example set for us. It's Jesus Christ's command for us. It's taught in the letters of the New Testament. It is a mark of any Christian who truly wants to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. And so if you have already believed in Jesus Christ and not yet baptized, I ask you to pray and consider this seriously and hope that you make a decision quickly. Now, getting baptized is a declaration of life. It tells the world that we are related, we are connected, we are deeply rooted with Jesus Christ. Now, let me see if I could have time to finish all this. I think I can. So bear with me. Now, there is this famous Chinese Christian, a famous Chinese Christian leader. He once shared his thought concerning baptism. He said, Westerners, I like to drink tea with sugar. And so one day he was having tea with a brother, and he added some sugar in his tea. He stirred it up, and a few minutes later, he asked the brother, "Now, can you tell me which is sugar, which is tea?" And the brother said, "Well, I can't, because it's all mixed together. And now I cannot separate them." And so upon that, the Chinese Christian leader said, "We may say that the sugar is baptized into the tea. And the sugar and tea are one together." And so he said, he continued, "When I get baptized, it's not like God baptized me into Christ just today. Actually, rather, you know, when I get baptized, I am really acting out a historical fact that took place 2,000 years ago. The historical fact is 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was crucified for my sin. And now God has accomplished that. And nobody can overturn that. Nobody can deny that. And when I get baptized today, it only shows that I am united with Christ. I am baptized into Christ." Now, the Apostle Paul says to us in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, we are baptized into Christ. Into carries the connotation of being set apart. Into Christ means we are set apart from the world. We belong to Jesus Christ. And so it really shows our determination, our resolve in following Jesus Christ. In the early church, when people get baptized, they knew that they would be facing a lot of difficulties. They will be faced with persecution. And yet, they know that because they have this firm foundation in the faith in Jesus Christ, they are ready to go through that. And I think today, we should have the same attitude. Not to say that, you know, in Vancouver we are facing any kind of difficulty or any kind of persecution as a result of our faith in Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, we should really have the same kind of attitude that really helps us to say, "I am willing to sacrifice myself for the Lord. I am willing to face persecution for my faith in Jesus Christ." And elsewhere in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Clothe carries two connotations. The first is identity, identity in Christ. The second is live like Christ. Since we have assumed, acquired this identity in Jesus Christ, we should also live like Christ. Now, last year, there was this piece of news in the United States and around the world that shocked the fashion world in America. A young model, famous model, who worked for Victoria's Secret, demonstrating, lingerie and women's underwear. Her name is Kylie Bisutti. He won the championship, and her career was really, at its climax, and he was doing well. But just at that moment, she packed it in, she threw in the towel, she gave it all up, her fame, her wealth, and everything. She didn't want to be a model anymore. Now, this past May, she published an autobiography. She said, one day, she explained why she packed it up at the height of her career. She said, one day, as I was posing to promote the lingerie, as the photographer was telling me to get in that pose or that pose, it suddenly dawned on me that I'm not really modeling. I'm actually selling my flesh. And my posture is actually titillating man, male, to tempt them, to tempt them into temptation. And so the next day, she said, I just broke down completely. And I knelt before God and cried my heart out. And I asked God to forgive me. And she recommitted, she was a Christian before. She recommitted herself to God and really wanted to follow God. And today, she has her own fashion line. And she even designs all those patterns. And if you go to the United States, you can buy her fashion. And on her clothes and pants, you will see, Bible verses all over, the clothes and the pants. And they are more modest. They are more dignified for women to wear. So, brothers and sisters, in our Christian walk with the Lord, from time to time, we really need to be quiet down, to set aside some time. So, retreat is good, so that we can focus on God, so that we can draw near to God, so that we can do some self-reflection, so that we can really examine our own lives in the light of the Holy Spirit. So that our life in Christ can remain vibrant. So that our life will not be contaminated, will not be polluted by what is going on in society today. The social network, the social media, all those things, if we don't handle it carefully, they corrupt us, they pollute us. And if we lower our guard, we will not be living like Christ. We will not be able to witness for Christ. We will lose our power. And so, as citizens of God's kingdom, we should really pay attention to how our faith is doing, to pay attention to see how our ministry is doing, to see how our everyday life is doing, so that when people look at us, when they see our character, our personality, they can set us apart from the world. All this comes from the inner life, which has been renewed, rejuvenated by the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, since we belong to Jesus Christ, since we have acquired this status, this identity as God's children. We should really live out this Christ-likeness in everyday life. We should live a life set apart for the Lord so that we can shine for Jesus. And in our vision statement, maybe you haven't looked at it for a long time. Let me read part of it to you. In our vision statement, it says, we should deepen our love for Christ and team together with passion to reach and serve others. It states very clearly in our vision statement of our church. And so may God have mercy on us so that when people see us, they notice our good deeds and they will give glory to God, our Father in heaven. Amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ, we thank you for setting a perfect example for us. But we admit to you that we can't really satisfy or please you every day. There may be times when we sin in speech, in our thought, and in everything that we do. So may you forgive us. And when you have forgiven us, may we have that courage, that resolve, that determination to stand up again, to live for you, so that when others see us, they can separate us from the world and recognize us as your people. Oh Lord, have mercy on us individually and corporately as your church here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.